305 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday. It is toasty, but Richmond is not on fire. Repeat, we are not experiencing mostly peaceful riots. We're just dealing with the ordinary nonsense, including, I should point out for the record, William Burnett, who you know is running for sheriff of the city of Richmond. He's the last chance to save that agency. It has been absolutely decimated and run into the ground by the current sheriff, Dr. Antoinette Irving. Do you know that 50 of his campaign signs mysteriously disappeared? Oh, no, no, not to worry. Sheriff Irving's signs are all just fine. A week to go before that election. Early voting is underway. The election itself is a week away. How anybody in the city of Richmond could even imagine voting to reelect that sheriff is beyond me. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. I want to provide a concrete proof of why there is simply nobody anywhere at this point left who believes a single solitary word that comes from the vast majority of legacy news hacks.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive multimedia confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of people hanging out, watching cars burn. God, how judgmental are you? Well, I don't see what the big deal is, Jeff. They set their own damn car on fire. Sure, they're morons, but, well, that's where we get into the details, don't we? Because they didn't set their own cars on fire. If they would have set their own cars on fire, well, then you could say, you're an idiot. And it's not my problem, because it was your car. No. These are rioters who are endangering millions of people. And it is based on their hatred and contempt for law enforcement. Let's be brutally freaking honest about this. You have now proof positive of what the leftists want in America. This is it. Huge riots, attacks on law enforcement officers who committed the crime of doing their jobs. Millions of dollars worth of property damage being done. And again, if you were destroying your own property, I guess I wouldn't have anything to say. I mean, you could sit around all day and spray paint the inside of your own house, can't you? You can. Sure you can. You want to kick holes in the drywall in your house? I'll tell you're an idiot, but, you know, it's your house. You decide that you don't like a T-shirt you own or a pair of sneakers, and you set them on fire in your backyard, and you sit around and watch it. Well, again, I think you're an idiot. But okay, it's your stuff. That's not what's happening here. It's not even remotely close to what's happening here. How did these riots in Los Angeles begin? They began because leftists in the state of California for years now have said, please feel free to break into the United States of America. Feel free to violate the law, come to the United States illegally, and instead of doing anything to remove you from the country, we will actually help you stay. And those idiots who are still left working for a living and paying taxes, God, what morons those people are, but we still have enough. We're going to take more of their money and give it to you. And God forbid ICE, the agency responsible for handling the issue of illegal aliens, illegal immigration. God forbid they come anywhere into the state of California. There is a directive in place from the governor, the attorney general, etc. in the state of California that tells local law enforcement, do not cooperate with any federal agency on any of this. Period. End of story. Why? Well, because California has declared itself to be a sanctuary state. Wow. Wow. It's like when Cambridge, Massachusetts declared itself a nuclear-free zone. You had to look at these idiots and say, so let me see if I understand this correctly. You are saying at the time it was the Soviets, you're saying to the Soviet Union that if, in fact, they're thinking about launching a nuclear weapon against the United States of America, you're okay with them hitting, say, Boston, but your city is a nuclear-free zone, so they would be in violation of what? Some sort of local ordinance in the event that they bombed Cambridge, Massachusetts? California says we're a sanctuary state. We've simply decided we're not going to follow the law. Okay. And what gives you the right to do that? Nothing. Gavin Newsom, who, as you know, is running for president of the United States, has been running. Gavin Newsom says he's now going to sue President Trump for utilizing the National Guard. Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, who's the mayor of Los Angeles, Maxine Waters, another moron, congresswoman who represents a good chunk of L.A., they're all saying there's just nothing wrong here. Well, this truly becomes a case of who are you going to believe? Gavin Newsom, Karen Bass, Maxine Waters, the legacy news media hacks, or your own lion flipping eyes, right? You're seeing it. Any shred of credibility attached to anyone, be they on that outlet we just shared, which is Channel 7 out in L.A., an ABC affiliate, or anyone else, Brian Stelter, Mr. Potato Head from CNN, is also saying, well, you know, it's no big deal. It's a huge deal. You can see it for yourself. This is one of the only redeeming parts of social media, is that you've got people with their cameras out taking images, video, live feeds. Let me tell you something. If you want coverage of this, stay away from the network affiliated outlets out there in L.A. and just go on X and pull up somebody who's standing around with their camera, holding up their phone. There it is. It's live video. It's a live feed. I got news for you. Having been in this business now for a long time, you're getting better stuff from those people with their phones in terms of feeds than you are from any of the networks or the network affiliates. So you don't have to believe these tools that are telling you it's just fine. Just fine. I mean, it's just a bunch of folks having fun. They're just watching cars burn. What other sort of fun you think these people engage in? I don't know. Well, we're just hitting people in the head with a 2x4. I mean, come on, it's a big deal. It's not your head, it's not your 2x4. So why do you care? All starts with physical attacks on law enforcement officers doing their job. I sit here, as you know, I'll say it again, as an ex-cop 1,000 years ago, blah, 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 blah. But you tell me how you are going to get anybody in this day and age to go and do this job while you have folks like the mayor of L.A., the congresswoman from L.A., the governor from California, and their assorted handmaids in the legacy news media rooms telling you, well, we don't see what the big deal is. Big chunks of cinder blocks and bricks being thrown at these officers. Physical attacks on these officers. And again, you don't have to take my word for it. In fact, I would urge you not to take my word for it. Go and watch the videos. There's some great live video from some of these officers inside DHS vehicles. DHS set up their own feed. Just cameras inside their vehicles, and you can see the bricks and the cinder blocks being thrown at their vehicles. Every one of those cases, by the way, they should arrest that person. They ought to be able to charge him with attempted murder because that's what's going on there. Now, you won't get prosecution, of course, from the L.A. County D.A. You're not going to get it from the California State Attorney General. And I'm not sure what the crime would be on the federal level. I would assume it's interfering with the job performance of a federal agent. I didn't spend any time in the federal system, man, so I don't know what the code is or anything like that. But I'm just telling you, this is absolutely outrageous. So we're going to talk about it. You hit me up, the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. What are you seeing? You're watching it the same as I am. Are you as disgusted by the media coverage of this as I am? Or have you simply said, Jeff, I didn't even bother watching them in the first place? Where are you getting your information? Are you watching the feeds over on X? Are you taking a look at the live feeds, the Facebook live cast? You tell me. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Oh, and what do you make of President Trump federalizing the National Guard, as he is empowered to do, to go in and take care of what's going on? I mean, it seems to me that's the only option that the man had. And I think it's an excellent option. And I salute him for doing that. And if you have any questions about what Abigail Spamberger would do, God forbid she became governor, she wants exactly the same sanctuary status for criminals here in Virginia as they have in California. $5 million in funding has now come into Abigail Spamberger for her campaign from the Democrat governors of America. They want her to turn Virginia into California East. Do you want this on the streets of Richmond again? We saw it once, because they're not going to stop in Richmond. This violence would not end in Richmond, I'll tell you that right now. There would be attempts to bring it everywhere in our beloved Commonwealth. It's outrageous. 3:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah! Who doesn't love L.A. right about now? You know, it's riot season. Well, we came, right? They came through the mudslides and the earthquakes, so hey, it's burn somebody else's crap in the street season. Come on, everybody should visit. You watch what's going on in California right now. I know it's centered in Los Angeles at the moment, but you mark my words, you will see it elsewhere in the state. You've already started to see this sort of nonsense around America. It is breaking out in other places. It is organized as well. You make no mistake about it. How do you think these folks just happen to wander into a location where there might very well have been pallets of bricks? That's some of the reports coming from out there. Where do they get their money to buy supplies? How are they able to travel around and do what they do? President Trump says this is all being financed. I believe with him. I believe him. I really do. I absolutely believe him. I believe that this is the one opportunity that this president has to show everybody what happens when you allow the leftists to be in control. I mean, this is what he's done. He stood back for, a couple of minutes so you could see the sort of damage that was being done. And as soon as he had the opportunity, what did he do? Said, where's the LAPD? Well, now, even the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, who, by the way, is appointed by the police commissioners, but it's really Karen Bass, blah, 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 blah. What did he say? He said, look, there are difficulties right now. We're not involved in them, per se. We're not involved in doing any federal law enforcement. But we're not going to allow riots. In other words, he took a stand against the mayor. I don't know how long he'll be there. California Highway Patrol, once again. These are guys who want to do the job. They'd like to go in. They'd like to do what needs to be done. But you've got a governor saying, oh, no, there's nothing, there's no problem at all. And President Trump says, look, you may have declared yourself a sanctuary state, whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, but I am the president of the United States of America. And I will not allow rioters, criminals, to rampage in the streets, attacking law enforcement officers and destroying stuff that doesn't belong to them. If this collection of nitwits wants to go to their own home and destroy all their own personal stuff, have at it. But for you to go out there in the streets attacking law enforcement officers, I don't like the laws they're enforcing. Yeah, well, I don't care. No, really, I would like to have a better answer than that. Oh, well, yeah, but I don't care. Well, I don't like the laws. Okay, then you elect people who change the laws. It is the job of those law enforcement officers to enforce the law. Hence the title, law enforcement officer. It is really, really simple. And to go out and attack federal officers like that? It is outrageous. It is inexcusable. It cannot be permitted in a civilized society. And either we stand up for not just the safety of those officers, but the rule of law, or we have truly crossed the Rubicon at that point. We have become the Badlands, right? You might as well fire up all that crap from the Mad Max movies at this point. You have to take a stand. There is a line. This is the line. All those men and women who stood on the wall, right? How many folks stood up on the wall, on the line? Hey, we are the defense against anarchy. You're seeing it play out here, and you see the side that leftists like Abigail Spanberger have taken. That ought to terrify you. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WLVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. It's toasty. I mean, let's leave it at that. 87, 88 degrees. We've got a lot of stuff coming up straight ahead. Jimmy Galeano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, will be with us at 5:35. By the way, Germ, this is an audible with you, just a heads up. Texting as we speak with one of my friends. He's been on the program before, Rob Chadwick, who is retired from the FBI as well. He headed up the firearms training, all the firearms training for the Bureau up in Quantico. He is an expert on tactical matters, and he is someone who has experience with a lot of these riots we saw about 5 years ago. So I'm trying to get him lined up, Jerm. I'm just giving you the heads up here, 405 or 505 if I get something back. If not, we'll get him on tomorrow, because he really, really, of everybody that's out there, has the insight to offer some expert analysis. And I look forward to getting him into the mix. But again, Jimmy Galeano, retired supervisory special agent, will be with us at 5:35. Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff going on as we speak. City of Richmond decides to hire somebody from Atlanta whose main claim to fame is that he kept their inspector general from looking at possible shenanigans involving the mayor and the city council. Ooh, that's not a good start. But we'll get to that later. I had the opportunity a few weeks back. I'm sort of scrolling through social media, as I am wont to do, and I come across a post from a friend of mine, Mark Jones, and he's talking about this new endeavor, something he's doing that's new. Now I know Mark, you know Mark, for years from Atlas 42 in the West End, the premier event locale, as far as I'm concerned, in Henrico. You know, it's just a beautiful place. I've been there for a lot of events, and I'm looking forward to more events in the future. It's just a great place. But I'm looking at this thing that Mark is doing, and I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is, because I don't fully understand. Then I run into him at an event, and I say, hey, explain this to me. And he did, and I thought, wow, this is something I want to share with you. So Mark is joining us. I'm happy to say, Mark, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, Jeff, how are you, sir? Happy Monday.
Well, a happy Monday. I am great. I am absolutely thrilled that we have you on the air, because I really just want you to educate some of my listeners in the same way that you educated me. You've got this new activity that you're involved in. And as I mentioned to you, I said, you know, I don't fully understand it. So do you mind just sharing with everybody what it is that you're in now?
Yeah. Sure, Jeff. Hey, also, just so you know, I've got Joe Mormon here with me. He's our director of sales and operations. I just asked him to sit in to make sure, to make sure I don't do something crazy. So Joe's here. Oh, so basically, I started a new chapter in my life as a business broker with here locally with Transworld Business Advisors. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, basically, what we do is that we help people buy and sell businesses. We work with sellers to find the right business for them to purchase, and then we also work with buyers to help them find the right acquisition for them. We've currently got a database of several hundred thousand of qualified buyers, and we try to help them find, you know, the right businesses for them to buy. There's a lot of baby boomers getting ready to come out of the workforce, and they're either going to want to retire from the businesses that they've owned, or the definition of retirement, I think, has changed over the last 15 years. So as they look to do something different, we think there's quite a bit of opportunity here. We also represent over 400 franchise concepts as well. For a lot of people, a franchise with a proven model that, you know, kind of you open up a manual and you start to follow is a little bit better fit for them. And then we also try to help folks value their business. A lot of times people think, well, hey, I had sales of X, so that's what my business is worth. Mm-hmm. And what we're and that's really not the case. So going through evaluation, we help them with that as well. So that, in a nutshell, as a business broker, is what I do. Is there anything you want to add, Joe?
I think that's a great description.
Cool. Okay. Now, I need to get some more details, though. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, okay, someday when I, quote, don't have to work, right? I don't have to go someplace and do something, but I kind of want to keep my hands in this or that. I'd like to talk about, revenue. We all like revenue and that sort of stuff. So I reach out to you, Mark, and say, hey, I am interested in a business, but what sort of a business is right for me? Is that something you can help with, or do you say, look, here's a list and pick something?
Yeah, so generally, in fact, Jeff, I'm actually working with several buyers right now, and basically what I try and do is I try to build a profile of the right type of business. Do they want a restaurant or do they not? Do they want a gas station or something like that? And oftentimes we start with, well, here's what I don't want, but here's what I do want. Mm-hmm. So it's a process of kind of going through. That process takes multiple meetings because, again, the net starts big, and then we need to kind of narrow that to figure out what's a good fit for them. Do they want to be involved on a day-to-day basis? Are they going to be more of an absentee owner? So, again, there's a lot of different phases involved. But we help them through that process because this is what we do day in and day out. Last year, Transworld had we closed over $1 billion worth of transactions. So again, this is something that we do that's in our wheelhouse, and we like to help folks.
I think it sounds fascinating, and I'm trying to figure out a few things. So you're with Transworld Business Advisors, and Joe, you're part of this operation clearly in a management situation. Joe, if you don't mind, do you mind jumping in for a second just to tell me what your experience has been with people who reach out to you and say, okay, I'm at that stage of my life where, and then you help them fill in the blanks?
We do, and a lot depends on where, you know, where they are in that life cycle. And, you know, business owners sometimes forget about a really important step of owning a business, and that's thinking about what that exit strategy looks like. And it's really important because you don't want to build this business for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 plus years and then look around all of a sudden and go, well, now how do I get out of this? So we take a potential seller, potential buyer, And we really worked them through a journey, as we like to call it, and really helped them understand the process, what to do to, if you're a seller, what to do to maximize your value, and help them find the best exit strategy.
You know, it's a fascinating thing. And Mark, I have to remind people again, Mark Jones is joining us, and you normally would know Mark, I think, from all of his involvement, owner operator over at Atlas 42, great place, but he is a business broker as well with Transworld Business Advisors. So Mark, it's not just about me buying the business, but it's about somebody who has spent 25 years of their life building the business. And I have to imagine that at some point, some of the business owners' kids look at them and say, yeah, it's not what I want to do, Dad. I'm sorry. Or it's not what I want to do, period. And there is no apology. Now they got to find somebody else to capitalize, if you will, to take over the work they've done, right?
Jeff, that is a great point. We see that happening time and time again where the mom and dad maybe started a business that did great, put them through college. And that's what they know. But this generation is a little bit different. And a lot of them, for various reasons, want to do something different. So then it's a matter of, hey, we have this business. It's done great for our family. But what do we do now? And that's the moment where if you pick the phone up and you give us a call, we can help you with that process. Right. It's also funny, Jeff, that we have a lot of people that own businesses that don't really understand or see that there's a value to somebody else. So again, there's, you know, sometimes people just decide to close the business and we like to say, they leave money on the table because they don't realize that, hey, somebody else, you know, is in a spot looking for that exact business. Let us help to put the two of you together and you go from there. A lot of small businesses also have a lot of employees that, you know, it's a matter of, well, hey, if I close the business, what's going to happen with them? You know, with this new golden age that we have, you know, happening, a lot of people don't know how to get involved in small business. Mm-hmm. And Jeff, you know better than anyone that small business drives the economic engine for the U.S. So the question is, how do I get involved in that? And that's where we can come in and kind of help you with that process. Or as Joe said, what's the exit strategy? And if you don't have one, we need to help you with that. So that's a lot of what we do.
I love this. Mark Jones is joining us. He's a business broker over at Transworld. And you mentioned franchises, because I think that's one of the things so many of us, yeah, everybody's got a dream. I want to do this. I want to do that. And most of the time, just stays over there in the corner. But there are a lot of people I know, because I've chatted with so many through the years, saying, I don't think I want to build something from the ground up. I'm not even interested in, I don't know, a business that somebody else built. But a franchise, man, look, it's all in place. It's kind of plug and play. But you're also helping people get into that space, as I understand it.
Yes, Jeff. So there's two things with franchises. One, again, when we sit down with them and kind of build that profile, again, for a lot of people, a franchise that has a proven system is a much better fit for them. And to be quite honest with you, if you go to the SBA for funding, franchises are much easier funded sometimes than other businesses. Mm. So that's what we do. The other piece is if you have a local business here that's really popular, whether it's a pizza place or, you know, whatever, and all of a sudden they're like, hey, I wonder what it would be like to, could I franchise that? Well, again, that's a whole nother thing. But within the Transworld family, we have a division that's exactly what they do, is that they help you franchise, because if you want to be in all 50 states, there's a lot that needs to happen. And there's a lot of legalities as well. So we get involved with, with helping develop that franchise model to where you can go out and turn your one or two locations here in the Richmond area, mm-hmm. Into 15, 20, or, you know, 30. So, again, there's a lot of value that we can bring to the table, that we try to do.
I love it. I love it. Hey, look, Mark, I appreciate you being here. I want you to give everybody your contact info, because my whole goal in this, as you know, when we met and chatted, I said I had absolutely zero awareness of this. I had no idea. I had no idea about Trans World. I had no idea about what you were doing. And as you and I were just chatting, I just kept thinking, man, everybody should know about this. It might be something that we've got folks listening saying, yeah, that's exactly what I want to do. So how do they get in touch with my friend Mark Jones?
So there's a couple of ways. My direct number is 804-510-0696. And my email is M Jones. That's Mark Jones. So mjones@tworld.com. And you can also find us at tworld.com/RVA. Okay. And I'd be more than happy. And Jeff, I'll send this to you on email as well. So if someone doesn't have a chance to write it down, but again, the cell phone is 804-510-0696. And my email is mjones@tworld.com.
I love it. You know, I've got a lot of people that I can very easily refer people to. Jeff, I need a doctor. Yep, Dr. Bob Quarles, that's your guy. Jeff, my roof is leaking, right? A-plus roofing, and now I think I got somebody as a business broker, Mark. I love it. So I appreciate you being here. I know we're going to chat again soon, or at least I want to chat with you real soon. And thanks so much for everything that you've done in the community throughout the years, and thanks so much for being here. That is Mark Jones, and Mark is a business broker with Trans World Business Advisors. If you did not know, as I did not know, that there was actually an entire profession devoted to brokering businesses, now you know. And you might be in a situation age-wise where you're thinking, huh, I'm not going to have to go into the office every day, but I'd like to be in a business. That's what he does. Or you've built the business and you're thinking, maybe we should franchise it, or maybe we need to find a new buyer. Apparently, that's what Mark does as well. So great stuff. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. What's not to love? Oh, my gosh. It's car burning season. Aw. If you missed Vandalism Week and you're just lining up now for... Oh, gosh, it's incredible, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to say to Rich on Richmond's Morning News, you got to pick something new. This will all be wrapped up in an hour, man. I wish that were the case. It's not. I can guarantee you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. when you tune in, there'll still be issues related to this. It's part of the reason you ought to be tuning in. We will talk more about this because I don't want this here in Virginia. I'm very serious. This is not what I want for my Commonwealth, my beloved Commonwealth. And I see the Abigail Spambergers of the world. I see the LeVar Stonies of the world. This is exactly what they want here in Virginia. Take a look at the city of Richmond. Anybody who still lives in the city of Richmond, God bless you. I wish you the best. I do. You guys got a bad situation there. Right now, William Burnett, who's been with us number of times, retired from the Richmond Police Department, running for sheriff. His signs have been stolen again. 50 of his campaign signs stolen, and mysteriously, his were the only campaign signs stolen. You want to save the city of Richmond? I can't help you. Yeah, again, Germ, again, just happened last night. If you want to save the city of Richmond, then you have to save the sheriff's office in the city of Richmond. And that means that the current grossly incompetent, epic failure of a sheriff, Dr. Antoinette Irving, needs to go. You have to vote her out. You got another week, right? There's early voting now for another week, and then voting day, what, the 16th, the 17th? It'll be the 17th. And if it goes the wrong way, I'm just telling you, you kiss that agency goodbye. Only thing that could save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office if she's reelected is somebody at the state level coming in and taking over. It's the only thing that could be an option. And I don't even know if that's a real option. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Good grief.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Monday. We got a lot of stuff that we are dealing with. There's no question about that. A brand new chief administrative officer for the city of Richmond. Well, that's exciting. What are his qualifications? Well, he's most famous for making sure that the mayor and the city council in Atlanta, where he's been, did not get investigated by the inspector general. Huh. Well, didn't they already do that in the city of Richmond? Didn't we already fire the inspector general? What exactly do you think is being hidden? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Seriously, what is being hidden at the city of Richmond? I mean, we see such gross incompetence on a regular basis that the mind just boggles at the stuff they're trying to cover up. And the mayor, as we know, has been there for a while. He can't play the, yeah, I'm the new guy, I don't know how anything works at this point. At this point, really, Mr. Mayor, you've got to be responsible. And how does that become the best person possible for the job? I don't know. I mean, I really don't. I don't know. I guess we're all going to see at some point. But it just seems so crazy that that's what we get. And that's what we continually get. In addition to that, William Burnett, who is running for sheriff, last chance to save the Richmond City Sheriff's Office, I'm telling you right now. Running, doing his best. I understand his sister just passed away. I mean, it's not an easy time for this guy. And 50 of his signs were stolen. I guess over the weekend. Somebody sent me the video. We had a little thing on Facebook. I missed it, and then somebody else sent it to me. I thought, oh my gosh, here we go again. Here we go again. That we have this situation where there's clearly an organized effort. There's no nice way to say it, so I'm going to stop trying to come up with a nice way to say it. There's clearly a very organized effort to destroy his campaign by removing his signs. Now, I hope, because I know he's been out there campaigning the old-fashioned way, going door-to-door and meeting with people and talking about things and the rest of it, but gosh, I wonder who could possibly be interested in having his signs removed. You tell me. Who is it that would want to have his signs removed? You want to take a listen to some of the insanity on this? Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. First, let me give you Channel 7 out of L.A. This is one of their local newsreaders, apparently venturing into the area where he gets to tell you exactly what he believes. And he could expose for you just what useful idiots so many of these people are, such dupes. Take a listen to cut number one.
Large group of people, it could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive multimedia confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators.
Yeah, demonstrators. I think technically they're arsonists, Mr. Newsreader, but okay. Now let me give you a little piece of Mr. Potato Head, Brian Steltler. He's back. He was such an embarrassment to CNN, and you're thinking there's no such thing. Yeah, he was. It was such an embarrassment, such a disappointment, such an epic failure at CNN. They actually benched him for a while. They kicked him off the air. And I guess in retrospect, they thought, well, at least he's not like that other idiot we have who was busy, Jeffrey Zumentubin, who during that, it was a Zoom call, right? He was Zooming during the Zoom call. And apparently forgot he had his camera on and must have been pointed in a southerly direction. And then everybody knew what a degenerate he was. So anyway, but Brian Steltler's back. Of course, he has an opinion on this. Let's take a listen. Cut number four.
That's right. I was in Newark earlier this evening. That's where the president is right now. He's cage side at a UFC fight. This is the popular mixed martial arts phenomenon. This is the second time he's been to a UFC fight since taking office again. He also attended one at Madison Square Garden last fall. So this is one of the president's favorite sports. It's a combat sport. It's, of course, all about fighting. It's incredibly violent, also incredibly popular. It gets a lot of money for his friend, Dana White, who runs the UFC. And the parallelism here, the symbolism is so striking. The president was at his golf club in Bedminster earlier today, maybe watching pictures of the very scattered, very isolated episodes of unrest around Los Angeles. And then on the way to this UFC match, we learn about this order for the National Guard. So you have him attending a fight on the East Coast while potentially stoking a fight on the West Coast and citing what he calls riots and looters, even though from all that we've seen from the visual evidence, what has happened has been very sporadic. You know, it is notable, right, how Trump has been very present about this on social media this evening, posting on Truth Social, posting on X, literally interspersing images of him walking out of the UFC fight with his messaging about California. And so that's going to give even more grist to critics who say he is trying to stoke conflict, trying to cause actual fighting on the West Coast, Brian.
Oh, is that what's going on, Mr. Potato Head? Oh! First of all, do you not love it when Brian Steltler, who's like the poster child for beta boys, is he not? Well, come on now, who are we kidding? You can see him sitting somewhere in his jammies. He's going to explain to us what UFC is. And then he's going to lecture us. Yeah, what a terrible thing. Well, UFC is this thing where really tough guys, you know, really, they're like really tough guys. And they're not tough like me, because I'm not really tough. But, you know, the really tough guys go, well, they beat each other up. And then people are cheering. It's not right. You know, they should sit around and oh, God. Could you imagine? I mean, really. I was thinking for a second, could you imagine being married to him? And then I thought, well, no. There's nobody on planet Earth that could imagine being married to him. If you're a woman. And I don't want you to take it the wrong way, but I'm interested in your opinion. No, I am. Now, let me explain this to you. James River Air text line is available, but I only want to hear from ladies. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. How desperate would you need to be to date Brian Steltler? Would you not have to be an unmarried woman in her 90s? With oxygen tanks on the edge of entering into the great beyond before you would even consider giving him your phone number? I get not everybody in the female world is as, you know, gorgeous and smart and talented as my wife. I get it. Not everybody can be my bride. And I'm not exactly Jimmy Galliano. I'm not ripped. Well, I'll tell you what, though. I'm not Brian Steltler. Seriously, ladies, hit me up. 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Would you ever even consider dating Brian Steltler? If you were single, you were looking. Do I have to be fair here, Jer? All right, I'll be fair. Look, you know, John Reed is a friend of mine. I don't know if you know this. John is gay. No, it's true. I know that people weren't aware. Anyway, but okay, so let's say you're gay. Would you consider dating Brian Steltler? 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. That's the James River Air text line. You feel free to text me your answers. I am very, very curious about that. I also want to tell you, 5:20 this afternoon, I've got tickets for you. The Artemis Pyle Band is coming to the Beacon Theater Friday, June the 13th. That is this Friday. By the way, I will not be here this Friday. So, we're going to give away the tickets at 5:20 this afternoon. He's the original member surviving member of Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
So it's going to be one hell of a show, I'll tell you that. But your chance to win those tickets, I will make it nice and easy, 5:20 this afternoon. We've got Carl Carlson joining us in a little bit. We'll talk about where the economy is. I just got statements from Fidelity today, and I didn't open them yet. So they are actually sitting here next to me because I just went out to the mailbox. I'm going to ask Carl if I should or should not open them on the air, and I'll wait to hear what he says. And we'll do that at 4:35. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Ooh, look, there's a Buick on fire. Oh, he's great, he's great. Are we only burning domestic vehicles in L.A., or are we going to deal with the imports? Oh, wait a minute. I just thought of the biggest problem that these nitwits are going to have out there. Do they or do they not burn Teslas? God, it was so easy for a couple of months, right? For 100 days or so, they knew that Elon Musk was their enemy because he got along with the president. So, yeah, go burn a Tesla is what they were saying to each other. But now Elon and Donald are like they've each updated their Facebook relationship status to it's complicated. So I don't know. Well, I want to burn a Tesla, but I don't know if I should burn a Tesla. Well, here's the first question you need to ask. Is it your Tesla? If the answer is yes, then feel free to burn it. If the answer is no, you can't burn a Tesla. Let me share with you some of the texts coming in here on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I just want to know, as I look at and listen to Brian Steltler, Mr. Potato Head, and I'm thinking he is like the poster child for the beta boy community. 804 says, Jeff, for real, I was listening to him, and I thought that was Rachel Maddow's voice. So, no, I would never date him. That's Amy in the 804. Okay. Jan and Ashlyn texts in on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I would have to be a zombie corpse to even give Brian Steltler a second glance. 804, Jeff, as a semi-retired 64-year-old widow, I'd have to be dead, Mrs. Potato Head, to even think about marrying Brian Steltler. Wow. Oh, wait. Now this one, Ann from RBA says, Jeff, I would have to be dead to consider Brian Steltler, case closed. But here's the winner. I'm telling you, you always have to have a winner when you take a look at the texts, right? 804 says, I'd date Brian Steltler before you, potbelly Jew boy. Now, I wasn't entirely sure. Jerm, do me a favor. Go to the James River Air text line, please, 833-804-1140. And you can see the one I'm talking about. It says, I date him before you, potbelly Jew boy. Is that person describing themselves as a potbelly Jew boy? In other words, is he missing or is she missing punctuation? I date him before you, comma, sincerely, hugs and kisses, potbelly Jew boy, or is he or she saying, I would date Brian Steltler before you potbelly Jew boy? I don't know what to tell you with the Jew boy line, but I can tell you this, that whole potbelly thing, it's just not accurate now. I weigh less now than I have since I was in junior high school. That's how long ago it was that I was in junior high school. We didn't have middle school. Nobody called it middle school. Junior high school. So I now weigh less than I did at any point in my life going back to junior high school. So I don't know. I date him before you, potbelly Jew boy. All right, listen, do me a favor. Just send the same text, but use some punctuation this time so I know exactly what it is that you are trying to say. 427, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. 436, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Hey, Germ, do me a favor. Let Charles Pyle know about the theft of signs. William Burnett for Sheriff signs, 50 of them stolen. As he and Gary and Sarah are covering the upcoming election in the city of Richmond, that's probably something they want to be aware of. And if he needs the contact info for William, I think we can happily provide that. But that's a big story. That this is the second time, at least, that so many signs supporting William Burnett for Sheriff have disappeared mysteriously, and signs for his opponent have not disappeared. Things that make you say, Monday afternoons, I get the chance to chat with a friend who also happens to be my financial advisor, financial planner. Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial every week joins us, has some great insight, great analysis. And this is no exception. But I, about an hour ago, went to the mailbox and I have in my hot little hands two envelopes from Fidelity Investments, and I don't know whether I should or should not open them. If Carl says yes, I'll open them on the air. Carl, good afternoon.
The answer is yes.
Yes? Okay. All right. People think I'm joking.
The market is back up.
All right. And does this cover the market today? Is it today's market? Let me see. Hang on a second. Hold on, because I know they... Oh, okay. That was a good one to open. Excellent. All right, I'm going to open the second one. If this second one has a certain number on it, Carl, this will be the last time you and I speak on the air, because this will be the final moments of my show. Whoa, baby. Wow. Okay, now people, I'm not going to post the numbers, but it's up 10%, Carl. That's like real money.
Yeah, that's good. That's nice.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, you just talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about, because I'm going to be going to that vacation website and seeing what's out there.
That's right. Hey, that's something I want to talk about, Jeff.
Okay. Well, let's do it, man. Let's talk about some of this stuff.
During volatile times, when the stock market is down and up and down and up and down a lot, you get some nice jumps up to, and when the market hits, we're near an all-time high again, and when it hits those numbers, that creates an opportunity to peel off some of that excess money that someone's made, and then that's money they can set aside, and now it can't go back down if the market drops again. And that may be for, maybe you've got a child that's going to get married and you have a wedding expense coming up in 6 months or a year or even a year and a half. It just feels good to get that, taking some of those profits off the table. Now you have them where you need them, or a vehicle that you're going to need to replace, maybe even for that vacation. But,
you are
but it's a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And when the market was down not that long ago and taking big dips, you know, I was saying what you got to do, you have to stay in. That's not a time to sell. But now, and especially if you were freaking out when the market was down quite a bit and it had a big, quick drop, and if that really, really bothered you, well, now is also an opportunity to reposition, meaning sell some of the stuff now while it's up, and then move it over to something safe that can't go down. And you're instead of maybe being 60% in stocks and 40% in something safe, you're going to switch it, sell 10% of those stocks, and now you're going to be 50% stocks and 50% safe,
right,
or even 40% stocks and 60% safe. So when the next big drop hits, it won't bother you as much. So you have to take and assess how you felt during that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was very stressful for you, then now is the time to start repositioning that. And that's why you always, when you're going through things like that, you want to be using a financial advisor that's going to help direct you in the right direction at the right time, build the plan ahead of time so you can execute at the right moments in the market. And now is one of those moments. Sometimes they don't stick around long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how did I react during the dip? I don't know. I was on Amazon looking at cases of razor blades and thinking, well, I'm only going to need one or two. That'll be fine. Don't worry about it. But now I'm going to say this in front of everybody. That what I just opened is Julia's bedroom that we are doing this summer. We had planned to do it. We are doing it. We're working with a contractor, Dave Mangano, over at the Damn Fine Carpentry, blah, blah, blah. And I know what numbers are going to be. I look at that today, and it was like a sigh of relief going, oh, yeah, my princess is getting her bedroom.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
It's great. It's great. Now, what about other people? Because, you know, there are other people besides the two of us. I know it sounds crazy, but there are. And there are still people I know who do not have a financial advisor. What are they asking you? Are they reaching out for a little advice anyway?
So, yeah, they should do that. You know, the thing I would say is, and it's not just a financial advisor.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to reach out to just any financial advisor. Right. You want to really, I would say first you want to pick the right firm.
Sure.
Financial advisory firm, because financial advisors can retire. I had a new client the other day whose financial advisor got killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh.
So advisor, you don't want to be all focused on the advisor. You want to be picking the right firm.
Gotcha.
And to me, the firm that you want to pick is one that will give you good returns and good performance on your growth money.
Right.
And very, very few firms do that.
Huh.
They want to get all diversified and lukewarm. So when the market swings, the client doesn't swing very much. And then that way they don't get mad and leave.
Oh.
So, but it's not good for the client.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, hey, volatility up and down is okay. It's opportunistic. There's times we can take advantage of it to finish off Julia's bedroom.
That's right.
And so don't be worried about volatility, and understand that's a much different thing than risk. And most all these firms say that they equate the volatility and the risk. And I would say, you know, Apple stock, Microsoft stock are not that risky, mm-hmm. but they dipped just as much as everything else when the market dropped, and they came back just as much. So they're volatile,
yep,
but they're not that risky. And if you get that equation right with the right positions, your growth money is going to really bless your future for you and your family.
I love that. Carl,
get the right firm.
Yeah. Let me remind everybody, Carl Carlson is joining us from Carlson Financial. 844-CARLSON is the number over there, 844-CARLSON. Now, Carl happens to be my advisor and my planner and my expert and guy I go to. Part of your job, I realized, Carl, was education, because I was exactly one of those folks a number of years ago. I thought that volatility equaled risk, and I was petrified and terrified. And again, for us, for Heidi and myself, it really is all about Julia. Are we going to do something stupid or wrong, and it's going to mess with her long after we're gone? And you and the team at Carlson Financial, again, educated us this difference between risk and volatility. And you just mentioned it, opportunistic. Man, the market during these things provides opportunities.
Yes, yes, it does. Yep.
Tell me where you start looking for those opportunities.
From what standpoint do you mean?
Well, somebody who's just sitting on the sideline and they're thinking, well, maybe I should call Carl. Maybe I should have a financial advisor. Maybe I should just, you know,
I'll
what I mean?
Tell them where to start looking.
Yeah.
CarlsonFinancial.com.
There you go.
Or 844-CARLSON. I thought you were asking me what stocks I was starting to look for, and my mind was starting to go from stock to stock to stock. But then you straightened me out.
I did straighten you out. Yeah, that's what we call technically in the business an underhanded pitch, but it's okay. But But now that you raise the question, are there any particular sectors you're looking at? Because I know you're big on tech, and we all
No, I love tech still. And but the right tech, and they're really the ones that I like, are the ones that are big companies, so they carry a bit. They're not as risky.
Right.
And they're going to benefit a lot from AI.
Okay.
You know, this robotic stuff and this AI that's coming.
Yep.
It's going to come fairly quickly, and it's going to make a lot of these big companies, their value is going to go way up, and we're going to see some awesome benefits on that over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. It's going to be really good, so you want to get positioned right to take advantage of that.
And I am positioned right, am I not?
Yes, you are.
Thank you. That's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to know. Again, you know, I'm gonna glue these envelopes back together so that when Heidi gets home, she can open them, and I want to see her face as well.
Julia's new bedroom.
Exactly. And, you know, there's probably a couple of extra pairs of new Spirit or Easy Spirit or whatever the heck she's been stocking up on. All right, Carl, here's the windup. And, again, the underhanded pitch to you, my friend Carl Carlson from Carlson Financial. How do they get in touch with you?
844-CARLSON or carlsonfinancial.com.
I love it. You're a great guy, my friend. I appreciate you being here. That is Carl Carlson, Carlson Financial, carlsonfinancial.com, 844-CARLSON. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 451, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. What do you think about going in on some property out there in L.A.? Well, I'm just curious. What do you think? I mean, a good time, right? Good time? Maybe? Maybe not? I'm absolutely amazed. Amazed on so many different levels to look at, read, listen to folks who are telling me everything is just fine. Don't believe your lying eyes. No, we know that you see cars on fire, property on fire. We know that you're watching video of people rallying on behalf of criminals and attempting to hurt current federal law enforcement officers, But yeah, it's context, Jeff. You have to know the context. Well, what is the context? What is it that I'm missing? I don't know how to break it to you. I'm not missing anything on this one. God, I wish I were. I really do. I wonder, should they or should they not arrest Gavin Newsom? Tom Homan, I don't know if I sent that to you, Germ. If I did, great. If not, maybe you can find it. But Tom Homan has this whole piece. Oh, I did. We'll get to the 5 o'clock hour. Gavin Newsom, by the way, is the one who started this whole, hey, they're going to arrest me thing. Nobody had floated that idea. It was Gavin Newsom. Why? Because he's like a crack addict. He, however, is addicted to coverage, news media coverage. So he will say or do anything to be covered in the media. So this is his latest. Oh, they're going to lock me up. Nobody had floated that idea. But Tom Homan said, well, you know, if you are in fact interfering with the performance of these federal law enforcement agents doing their job, then maybe we will lock you up. And then, of course, Gavin Newsom turned that into what I guarantee you is going to be a fundraising reach out probably today. And it will be part of his campaign for president for the leftists who think what's happening in L.A. right now is great. Now, the rest of us should look at it as a reminder of what will happen if someone like an Abigail Spamberger, who is all on board with this nonsense, all on board with it, if she were to be our governor, God help us. And then, of course, they asked President Trump. And President Trump said, hey, I like, you know, personally, Gavin Newsom's a nice guy. He's grossly incompetent, but he's a nice guy. Coming up at 5:05, Rob Chadwick joins us, retired from the FBI, an expert, an absolute expert in the role of federal law enforcement and tactical firearms and responses to things like this. He'll be with us at 5:05. 4:55, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Monday afternoon. We're holding steady, by the way, right around 85, 86 degrees. It's toasty. And we're going to have this for a couple of days. We will have rain rolling in towards the end of the week. Tomorrow, Tony Pham is going to be with us. Tony, of course, just a dear friend, buddies for, I don't know, a decade plus, I guess. Formerly headed up ICE. He's got a thing to or two to say about what's going on out in L.A. But again, that's tomorrow afternoon, 5:05. Tony Pham will be here a little bit later today. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, is going to be with us. I want to get his insight. And one of the folks whose opinion I value so highly, I was thrilled when he actually answered and said, yeah, I'm happy to come on today, Rob Chadwick. Rob is one of those guys, I guarantee everybody's reaching out to him, so I'm just thrilled that he's making some time for us. Rob, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
It is my honor. I want to remind everybody that most of the time you're here, you are the Director for Education and Training, United States Concealed Carry Association, and Delta Defense. Great stuff. But I want to get your insight, Rob. You headed up the FBI's tactical training program at Quantico. You had experience with these BLM riots a couple of years back. What are you seeing and what are you thinking as the situation in L.A. unfolds?
Well, it's deeply concerning, Jeff. And you know, the thing that people need to remember is while these riots are going on, and obviously they're surging resources, both local, state, federal, obviously, are moving in to help out. But people concentrate on what's going on at the site of the rioting, and what people forget is that means that there's really no other resources in the surrounding areas to answer the crime that's still going on. So what are everyday citizens who maybe don't live right there where the disturbance is happening, what's going on in their neighborhood when they call the police, someone's breaking into their house, or every available unit is downtown, so to speak, working these riots. Right. And that leaves everyday citizens on their own for an extended period of time.
You know, it's an odd situation, Rob. We talk about that. California is one of those places where it's virtually impossible to have a carry permit. I mean, this ties into some of the other stuff you do today. I mean, what does somebody do in California? How are they supposed to be protecting themselves?
Well, you hit it, Jeff. You know, the firearm is the one tool that levels the playing field for everyone. And, as long as you're properly trained and have some confidence in your ability to use it in an extreme situation, there really is no substitute. But in those situations where someone doesn't have access to a firearm, they need to have a plan, some means to defend themselves, whether it's a non-lethal option, like a taser or pepper spray, something like that, mm-hmm. and be prepared to evacuate, right? It's not worth sticking around to see what's going to happen. If you see trouble developing in or around, your area, it's time to move out. Have that decision, though, made ahead of time. And, invest in some training. Look at, that's why I do what I do, right? Work with people all over the country. The USCCA has classes everywhere in helping people develop that personal security plan. It starts with mindset and a decision that you are going to take action to protect yourself and your family.
Rob Chadwick is joining us. Rob is currently the Director of Education and Training, United States Concealed Carry Association, formerly the head of the FBI's Tactical Training Program, right up the road at Quantico. Rob, go back in time a little bit. You are leading the Tactical Training Program. You're looking at the way the operations are being conducted. Are you pleased with how they're going in L.A. and surrounding areas, or are there one or two tactical decisions you would have made differently?
Well, what concerns me is for the men and women who are on the front lines today in L.A. is what concerned me when my unit got called up back in 2019, right after George Floyd was killed. You had the unrest in and around Lafayette Park in Washington, D.C., right up the road from WRVA. And, that day I was at Quantico and got the call from my boss, hey, get your guys and get to D.C. The problem is, Jeff, that the FBI, as trained and proficient as our guys were in certain areas, we were never trained nor equipped to deal with, civil protest, right? That's a very highly specialized response. When I was a policeman up the road in Fairfax County, I was on the civil disturbance unit as part of my assignment, and you get specialized training and equipment We had none of that. And so my unit, you know, the tactical training unit at Quantico, 25 of us were downtown right there at Lafayette Park wearing multicam uniforms and big block letters and, you know, M4s and 9mm and no less lethal options. We had nothing. Wow. And so, you know, we're facing off against, these are, after all, our fellow citizens, you know, for the most part, right. They're on the other side of the protest lines, and they're exercising their right to protest. The last thing you want to, in the world you want to do is you know, really hurt somebody unnecessarily. But, you know, it really occurred to me and many of my colleagues, like, what are we supposed to be doing here? We had very little guidance and rules of engagement, that sort of thing. And especially for units or agencies that are just not trained or equipped to handle that. That's what concerns me for those men and women on the front lines right now.
Interesting. Have you seen the videos of folks on the streets? These are videos shot inside of DHS vehicles looking out their windshield and what have you. Folks with giant cinder blocks, major chunks of cement and stones, hurling them right at the windshield. I mean, the goal there, obviously, is to injure those officers inside. And it's not fair. I'm not asking you to do this, you know, game table this with me, but I'm just looking at it, I'm thinking, okay, so do you keep going forward or do you go in reverse? I mean, honest to goodness, I just don't even know which way your vehicle should be moving at that point. I don't know.
Well, as a citizen, anytime you see stuff like that, even developing, it's time to leave immediately, right? Get yourself and the people you care about out of there. But you know, the thing is, make no mistake, while many, and probably the vast majority of the people who are protesting down there, you know, are just exercising their right to protest, there are always paid agitators, always people like, you know, these Antifa, you know, protesters who are looking for an excuse, looking for an opportunity to act up and cause problems and agitate. And so that's what really concerned me, is this one protester, this one agitator, you know, if they were to reach up and do something to cause one of these law enforcement officers to have to respond with a significant level of force, now they want to film that and, of course, exploit that for salacious purposes. It's an absolute nightmare for those people on the front lines, and I pray for them. My thoughts and prayers are with those people.
Yeah, the situation they're placed in is untenable at best. It is, for the vast majority of the population, I think it's probably a terrifying experience to just to even to try and imagine. And for those of us, I mean, I forgot for a second, you were police officer locally up in Fairfax. And for those of us that suited up and went out there and tried to do the job every day, it is one of those things. It's like, yeah, it's another day at the office. I want to go home, though. And what is the appropriate level of force? And now with video everywhere, everyone has a camera, everyone's recording everything. Boy, it's, I would have to imagine, it's just that much more complicated to deal with.
Well, people need to remember, we are all now living in what they call the ubiquitous technical surveillance state. Everywhere you look, there's a Ring doorbell or a traffic camera or a drone or some, you know, even a handheld phone that is recording. And so everything you do all the time is going to be subject to recording and scrutiny and second guessing. And so, you know, it's a terrifying thing to think about, especially when you're forced to react in a split second to defend yourself or your family. And then that is going to be judged based on these multi-angle videos that you might not have had. That's what's happening with these law enforcement officers with the body cam videos. And, you know, it's just such a deeply unfair and troubling situation for law enforcement right now. And again, I commend these, you know, men and women who are out there trying to keep the peace. But, you know, for your listeners, if something were to happen, you know, in their area, always remember that, you know, people are willing to do things they would never even consider if they were on their own when they're part of a big group, especially like a faceless mob. And so the violence and the capacity for violence in a group setting like that is just off the charts.
It is indeed. Rob, I appreciate you being here. And you had mentioned earlier, and I want to give you the opportunity to share the website, United States Concealed Carry Association, the training that is literally happening in all 50 states, it seems like, every day of the week. For somebody, maybe it's the first time they've heard you on this program. Maybe they're thinking, yeah, I need a little more training and education. What's the best way for them to reach out to United States Concealed Carry Association?
best place to start is our website, uscca.com. There's literally a search box for training near me, and there are hundreds of free training classes in every corner of the country. We're in 5-Eleven stores. You know, anything from how to build a survival kit, you know, a bug out bag, to how to do first aid, to you know, how to shoot in self-defense and what to do in the aftermath. All these things that sometimes people never have thought about, that's what these training classes are for. It's just to provoke that consideration. That's what we want to do, is equip responsible American citizens to protect themselves, their family, and what matters most.
Well, I love what you do over there. I always appreciate you making time for us, Rob, and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
It's always a pleasure. Stay safe. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. That is Rob Chadwick. Rob is the Director, Education and Training, USCCA, United States Concealed Carry Association, Delta Defense. It's a great operation. If you are a firearms owner and you're not a member, you should join. If you just are looking for the training, I'm telling you, it is all over the place. And for those who are thinking, maybe I should become a trainer, yeah, options and opportunities available for that, but uscca.com. Yes, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets for the Artemis Pyle Band. Artemis Pyle, the original member, the last surviving original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. He's going to be at the Beacon Theater this Friday. I'll give you a chance to win those tickets just a couple of minutes from now. 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Yeah! How many used car dealers going to have some big special deals, huh? Oh, it was only peacefully set on by immolated. What's the mileage on this? Right. How many gallons of water did the LA Fire Department have to pour on this vehicle to salvage it? And does that mean that I can get a clear title on it? Or there's so many questions now that are popping up. Oh, you know what else is still popping up? Germ, did you ever get a clarification? Am I the potbelly Jew boy of whom 804 texts, or were they referring to themselves? God, a comma would just, it would make my evening. A properly placed comma in that text on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Seriously. I don't know. Gosh. I just want to know. That's all I want to know. Do I need to post a new photo? Maybe that. Not nude. Stop that. No, a new, N-E-W. A new photo that indicates there's no pot belly. I don't have a pot belly. I don't. It's just not the case. Gosh. But anywho, I don't know. Here, I date him before you, potbelly Jew boy. So again, is that you who's the potbelly Jew boy? Or, well, anyway, listen, I want to give you some tickets. I know I'm pondering this, but I do want to give you the tickets. The Artemis Pyle Band is coming to the Beacon Theater this Friday, June 13th. Artemis is the one surviving original member of Lynyrd Skynyrd. So if you want to go, we'll make it nice and easy for you, right? Caller number seven. Why not? We're in a good mood today, right? Caller number seven at 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Caller number seven, you will get a pair of tickets for the Artemis Pyle Band at the Beacon this Friday. And by the way, no pot belly, because I am at the lowest point in my weight journey since junior high school. I kid you not. I'm no longer in the two category. I'm actually in the one. I'm below I'm in the wonderful category. That's all I'm going to say. Jimmy Galeano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, joins us next. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 5:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday. By the way, holding steady right around 85 degrees. I think the overnight low is going to be down around 70. Not terrible. It's not terrible. A little more rain moving in towards the end of the week. And you know what was nice? I've got to say this. The weekend, remember they kept telling us it's a washout. Everything's going to be washed out. Don't even think about going outside. I mean, we had some downpours, but man. I don't know about you. I was able to get out and about. It's pretty nice. I mean, it's, you know, village in upstate New York, but it ain't bad for a little southern town where I am. But we're looking at what's going on in L.A., and I'm trying to make heads or tails of it. I'm hearing from the president. I'm hearing from Tom Homan. We just heard from Rob Chadwick, retired out of Quantico, charge of the tactical unit up there. And Jimmy Galliano joins us. Jimmy is my go-to guy, as you know, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, graduate of a West Point, and somebody who knows more about law enforcement and procedures than pretty much anybody I know. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
My man, as soon as the bat signal went up, when I heard that someone sent you a nasty email, I said, I am here for my guy, Jeff Gatz.
Jimmy, I'm telling you, people argue about that Oxford comma, right, in advanced English classes. And I'm thinking, all I need is one comma. Am I the pot-belly Jew boy, in which case, well, maybe I got to work on something. Or are you saying you are, in which case I'm going to give you inspiration to live better? I mean, I just don't know which way to go.
Jeff, it's the power of positive thinking. You've always adhered to that, and I would stick with that. Just think positively.
All right. Well, I am positive that pot belly is long gone, so I am good to go on this. All right, my friend, you are looking, as we all are, at Los Angeles federal law enforcement agents under attack. The governor says, hey, there's nothing going on here. Everything is fine, even as there are all sorts of awful images in the background. So you tell me what really is going on and what should be the response.
Let's unpack it.
Okay.
So this is exactly the reason why back in the mid-80s, two brilliant professors, Kelling and Williams, came up with this idea about broken windows.
Yep.
Broken windows suggests that if you let the small things fester, if you let them proliferate, if you allow pickpockets, if you allow quote-unquote broken windows, and you allow the decay of public order, you are going to invite serious crime. Jeff, this is a mob, and mobs become emboldened. And I heard Mr. Chadwick say it earlier that, when people get into a mob, they tend to act out and do things that they wouldn't normally do if they were by themselves, because mobs become living organisms. And the problem with that is that we have tolerated them for far too long. And Jeff, I go as far back as 1991 in the FBI's New York City office, when the Crown Heights riots happened, and 1992 out in L.A. again, where the Rodney King riots happened. The response was much different. And here's the thing, and this is what I want to unpack, because people argue this all the time on social media. Jimmy, you want to step on people's First Amendment rights. We have a right to protest. Sure you do. You don't have a right to point lasers at the eyes of law enforcement officers. You don't have the right to graffiti all over federal buildings. You don't have the right to drop cinder blocks and throw rocks off of overpasses so that you injure and maim police officers. You don't. And in fact, people think that the First Amendment, which affords us the right to free speech and the right to worship how we want to and the right to public assembly, they don't understand that you still have to follow all applicable laws, Jeff. So if I want to step out in the middle of the road and prevent an ambulance from going by because I want to protest climate change, I am breaking the law. And that's where this breaks down, Jeff, because people will argue, well, Martin Luther King Jr. and the civil rights marchers, they didn't get permits. They also didn't attack police. Different time, different motive. What's going on right now is people are protesting the lawful and legal conduct of law enforcement in this country. And Jeff, as I say often, and I'm an optimist at heart, but it's going to get worse before it gets better.
That is what we all fear, Jimmy. Jimmy Galliano joining us, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. That is what we all fear. We have these turf wars going on that it, in some universe somewhere, I guess it makes sense. But I watch the coverage of the chief of the Los Angeles Police Department. I don't know the guy, and I don't know if he's up from the ranks or from somewhere else. But he said, look, number one, this seems like it's just like an L.A. thing that you have to do. He says, we're not involved in any way with enforcing federal law, meaning they're not helping ICE to do this, that, or the other. However, we have declared an unlawful assembly. Everybody's got to go, and we are charged with enforcing that. I've heard rumblings from CHP guys, California Highway Patrol guys, that there's some big skirmishes in Northern California because the governor doesn't want any CHP presence. And those guys, literally with boots on the ground, are like, no, this is what we do. You have Governor Newsom saying he's going to sue President Trump for federalizing the National Guard. Is it possible? Oh, and just in, 500 Marines are also headed on their way to L.A. coming up from, I guess, San Diego. So is it possible for the agencies to work together, or is this just all political stuff that's going to get in the way?
Well, I mean, there's never a problem with law enforcement agencies working together. Yes, it's the politics. And I can speak to this having, you know, recently become a reformed and recovering politician. and look, having served as a mayor in an upstate New York village, much smaller than the city of Los Angeles. But, Jeff, what if I decided in my village in upstate New York that I was not going to allow federal officers to enforce any gun laws? So if they come in and they decide to arrest somebody for a silencer, arrest somebody for a pistol with an obliterated serial number on it, or somebody with, you know, large capacity magazines, or somebody that's filed off a sear and turned a semi-automatic rifle into an automatic rifle, what happens if I said, nope, we are not going to support the ATF, the FBI, or anyone else in this jurisdiction? Jeff, that's anarchy. That is absolute anarchy, and that's what this is. The problem is that we've just tolerated it for so long that now that we're trying to turn it back, I mean, you know, the fact that over the last 4 years during the Biden administration, I mean, people were actually encouraged. I'll pull up the clips of then-candidate Biden saying to people, surge to the border. Well, they did. And what happened is, and again, the vast majority of them are good people, but they're overwhelming the system. Our system is not built to take all of these extra people into account. Right. And now what happens is Trump decides, hey, we're going to go after the worst of the worst. However, if we're conducting a raid and we're going after the worst of the worst, and you happen to be undocumented as well, an illegal alien as well, you are going to get swept up in the process. And that's what people are losing their minds for in these blue cities. And, Jeff, like I said, it's going to get worse before it gets better. What's going on in California right now, even in my state in New York, you know, there's a reason why our two states, California and New York, lead the country in out-migration. People are moving to other places. Where? Places that are safer and places where people respect the rule of law, and that is currently not going on right now in Los Angeles, California.
Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, joining us. Jimmy, what about the deployment of resources? There are some of the questions that are being raised, and Rob Chadwick actually raised one. He says, you know, when we're surging law enforcement to the riot locations, people need to remember that means that your part of town is probably losing X number of officers. Now, LAPD, it's a huge agency. The sheriff's office, huge agency. But nonetheless, they're pulling people out of regular patrol stuff to deal with this. And perhaps the very same people who are rooting for the rioters could very well find themselves subject to abuse from the rioters.
Let's go back to the summer of love, Jeff, in 2020. What happened that summer? Billions of dollars worth of damage. Billions with a B. And you know who got hurt the worst, Jeff? Small businesses and the Democrats. And again, you know, I'm trying not to make this political, but it's hard to look at urban areas and big cities because they're typically run by Democrats that allowed this to happen, that sat by and allowed it to happen because the people needed to act out. And Jimmy, it's just property. But if you're some, you know, small immigrant family that came here the right way, and you open up a grocery store, and you're working your butt off, you're in there at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you're shutting down and sweeping out at 10 o'clock at night, and your place gets torched or looted, Jeff, it has, I mean, the ripple effect that that has for generations, it's just, it's unconscionable that we're not providing and affording those folks a safe place to live. So, you know, look, Jeff, what can we do? I'll give you two quick ones.
Okay.
One is, from now on, when you break the law, and again, we have some of these laws on the books and they're not enforced. If you break the law while you're wearing a mask, you're going to jail. And we're not going to use the revolving door justice system where you're out the next day or you're out that evening before the ink is even dry on your arrest warrant.
Yep.
So that's number one, because we're allowing these clowns and these buffoons to wear face coverings while they're throwing rocks, pelting buildings and people with, you know, rocks, bricks. These are organized groups. They're finance groups. Antifa is not an idea, Jeff. It is an organization. There, I said it, because everyone else says it the other way. It's not an idea. It's an organization, and we need to start going after them hard. Number two, this might be a little more controversial, but in 2019 in Hong Kong, do you know what the police did there during some civil unrest? They used water cannons with blue dye. And what they did is they sprayed with water. It was harmless, and it didn't hurt anybody. But they sprayed blue dye on people so that they were able to pick them up and identify them afterwards.
Wow.
Jeff, two things. Enforce the mask laws and maybe consider something like this so that we can identify these people who are cowards because they're acting in groups and they're covering their faces. And maybe that'll slow some of this down.
Brilliant ideas. Jimmy, thank you for being here, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. And what a great idea. I think that is absolutely well worth considering, the idea of the water cannons with some sort of dye. You're not going to hurt anybody, but they are going to receive a new paint job for a couple of days, making it that much easier to go out and affect lawful arrest. That is something to think about. 547, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
I love LA.
I cannot wait to go and visit. It could happen any day. Well, it could. You know, it's weird. I'm scrolling on my phone because I've got memories coming up from Facebook, and you know that is far more important than any other thing that I could possibly do. So I'm looking at them, and 1 year ago today, I was in Palo Alto. In fact, most of the Katz family was in Palo Alto for Harry's granulation when he graduated from Stanford. So that was nice. And here's the other thing. In the photos, I'm looking, and I think if the texter who reached out on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, had in fact been texting last year on this date, I don't want to take it the wrong way. I won't take it the wrong way. They might have been able to say Potbelly Jew Boy. Because there was, I'm still Jewish. That hasn't changed, obviously. So I guess that always, you know, you just keep that. But the whole pot belly thing, like I'm looking, I'm going, yeah, you know, not my best look. But now, since that photo, I am down 54 pounds. Just FYI, I know, because I was on the scale this morning and I did the math. The calculator on my phone has never been utilized as much as I keep going, oh, how much did I lose? So I'm down, actually, just so you know, 54.2 pounds. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying. But now, yeah, not really Potbelly Jew Boy. So you might want to come up with something new. I will give you you can keep with the religious slurs if that makes you feel better, but you're going to have to do something else. I'm sorry. You can't quite cut through with that sort of stuff. Okay. That's it for today, believe it or not. Good day today. Thank you, Germ, as always, for all the great stuff. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., I would urge you to be listening to Rich Herrera, Richmond's Morning News. Got great stuff coming up, always does. Tomorrow afternoon, dear friend of mine, Tony Pham, will be with us, former head of ICE. I bet you he's got a thing or two to say about what's happening in L.A. Go out, enjoy the evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.